All sports, all the time.
Well, it's, as you can tell by the opening music, it's definitely Monday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, come on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but swing on by there. You never know what might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You know, you went all the way over there. Go ahead and give that a like, right? But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with 3 E.
All right, Dan. I got a couple things that I want to hit you with right away, and I want to start with, I believe now, you know, I read over the weekend that the Cubs have a number one target in agency. This player is their top priority. All right, he's kind of their must-sign guy, and I honestly believe, Dan, that if the Cubs can ink this guy, they will go back and win the World Series in 2021. I mean, that's just how big of a game changer this guy is. So, you know, and I know right now you're running through their head, right? Well, they need a starting pitcher. Are they going to go after Trevor Bauer? You know, who's this big star player that they've decided is ultimately their number one? And I'm telling you, Dan, if they ink this guy, it's World Series all over again. Did you hear about this? Do you know who it is?
No, I don't.
The Cubs' number one target, according to the reports I saw over the weekend. We don't have a drum roll, do we? Damn, that's too bad. Let me double check. I thought we had one for some reason. No, oh well, no drum roll. What, the Cubs' number one target, Dan? Tommy La Stella.
Are you serious?
Yep, that came out over the weekend. I forgot. I might have saw it on MLB Trade Rumors, but yeah, the organization themselves has said that he's their number one priority right now to sign as a free agent.
So essentially, what you're saying is, if he's the number one priority, this is kind of big news. Because what position does he play in?
Well, second base is where obviously they would use him.
No.
So.
What position has he been playing?
You know, unless they plan on bringing him in as the everyday third baseman, you know, if Chris Bryant was to be gone. So.
Oh, and that's exactly kind of where I'm going with it. So, I mean, doesn't it just say exactly that? That if that's your number one target, then you're preparing. That way you can continue to use Goldie off the bench.
Actually, what it said to me is that this organization is completely clueless, and it's definitely time for Theo Epstein to go, is what it said to me. You're looking at a team that has three starting pitchers.
Yep.
You know, and if they John Lester back, they would have four, but you don't exactly have a knockdown rotation with Kyle Hendricks, Yu Darvish, and Alec Mills. So I would think maybe one of your prime targets would be one of the starting pitchers that were on the market, but no, it's Tommy La Stella. Or, you know, as bad as the bullpen is, you know, the A's didn't offer Liam Hendricks, a contract, the what the hell I've got. I forgot what the hell they call it. What's that damn thing called now, Dan? The qualifying offer. There you go.
Oh, the qualifying.
Yeah, well, the
qualifying offer.
You know, and the Indians just let Brad Hand walk. They didn't pick up his option, and he just led baseball in saves. But I guess we're going to go with Tommy La Stella as the top target and Craig Kimbrell trying to close out games again.
Well, you know, and it does make it curious. It makes it curious in the way you're describing it, because now what is your statement to the fans? You know, they already sat through and bought the initial teardown rebuild. And while the rebuild won a World Series, it didn't produce what it was supposed to do. And that was, you know, five continuous years of playoff championship-level baseball, which we only seen them win one LCS and one World Series. So it kind of didn't really, you know, I don't think it really overvalued itself. The equation isn't balanced to me. And what he's done since the beginning is just throw hitters at you. You know, when you go back to Boston, I think Johnny Lester was there, but correct me if I'm wrong, I think the only real draft pick that he drafted pitching-wise was Clay Buchholz. And that was later in the round, I believe.
Yeah.
Could be off on that. So, you know, he's trying to fix a pitching problem, but not fixing it, masking it with hitting again and trying to attract the hitting. So when is that going to run out?
Well, it's clear it's already run out, hasn't it? I mean, we've got one World Series to talk about for a team like you mentioned, or like I've mentioned many times, are just a failed dynasty. You know, I mean, this team had all the makings of multiple World Series championships. And I don't know, you know, I begin to wonder this year if it had to do with the player makeup, you know, because, like, I really became frightened when Anthony Rizzo came out and said the guys were actually concerned about who would be on the team in 2021. So that tells me that, you know, I guess the best way to put it without using anything too derogatory is these guys are wimps. There's not a tough guy leader kind of type, because you're playing one season and you're worried about the next and who's going to be here. I would think you should be concentrating on barely, you know, winning your division and then trying to advance in the playoffs. But all this kind of, you know, or maybe if you're Anthony Rizzo, you'd worry about your cancer coming back. I could understand that. But to sit there and say you were concerned with who would be here next season, that's immediately a problem. So it's clear that this team won't do what it takes to win. So,
do you think it has to do anything, though, with the fact that it's shoved down their throats all the time? You know, it's like, oh, Anthony Rizzo, you went out and batted, went 4-for-4 and hit 4 home runs, 4 grand slam. You know, you had a great day. But, you know, your contract's up. Do you think you're going to be here next year? What about your buddy Chris? You know, is the Brizzo romance going to be dead when Chris Bryant's playing for Philly with his buddy Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I could understand that for yourself personally, but not when it comes to anybody else. You know, I mean, all you've got to say, you know, exteriorly to the media is, well, I have no control of that, you know, or you say, well, yeah, I'd love to see him back, but, you know, it's out of control. You don't go on and say that the guys on the team are actually concerned with who's going to be here next year, because in reality, they shouldn't care. So, you know, that's just poor. You know, that, you know, sports, you know, well, not even so much sportsmanship, but that's just a poor, the poor attitude to have. It's the wrong attitude. You know, I mean, here, you know, here you want guys, you know, you want to think about winning and how you're going to go about doing that. And the Cubs' concern was who will be here. And then the fact that we need to sign Tommy LaSella because he solves all our problems. So,
I mean, it is pretty baffling. But do you think it also has to just be, you know, maybe that wasn't a huge concern with them and our media in general just picked that story and just felt like they needed to run with it, especially if the Cubs were or were not doing well at a certain time?
The only other problem is nobody really ran with it. It was just reported as a quote. They let go. I'm the one hanging on to it because it gives me a problem. Because I don't think winners talk like that. I believe they focus on the, you know, the task at hand, and you know, you stuff like that you worry about now that the season is over. Well, who's going to be here next? Am I going to be playing with? You don't worry about that, you know, during a season. You know, you worry about, well, are we good enough to win the World Series? Because it looks like we're going to be a playoff team. But instead, we go out and choke to the Miami Marlins. So there you go.
Hey, you're talking about my team, and I'm supposed to yell at you and expletive of this and explosive that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, you know, taking a quick gander at Tommy LaSella. Why the hell would he be someone you're targeting when you have a plethora of infielders to work with, which, of course, to take a majority of the time over at third base and share it with David Bodie when Chris Bryant is traded somewhere that brings back the pitching? I don't know if that pitching is in the front end or the back end. But, you know, like I said, I don't know if it's front end or back end where you'd want to put that. And like Big Jack said, hopefully. Because if you're targeting a guy like David Bodie, you know, with the Cubs, the most he played was in 2018, 123 games. I believe that was when Bryant was hurt a lot, right, Big Jack? So pretty decent season. Didn't even hit 200 at bats, though, and still pulled out a 266. Since leaving Chicago and going out west with the Angels, he put up a 289, and his slugging was 483 with the OPS of 836. Now, I forget what those high numbers mean, the OPS, and if that's valuable. I'm trying to figure out what they're looking for because batting average, you know, is definitely improved. But that's in barely 400 at-bats over 1.5 to 2 seasons. He has hit 20 home runs in Los Angeles. Maybe it was the stadium. You know, but he strikes out about as much as he walks, so it's not horrible. He didn't, you know, in 2 years with the or 400 at-bats with the Angels, he's got 35 strikeouts. The remainder of his time with the A's, you know, only 12 strikeouts, but that was amongst 97 at-bats. So, I mean, it's still pretty low numbers and kept his batting average. But, you know, you're looking at a career 274 guy, 31 home runs. Most of them hit, you know, in 2020. There's 14. I guess I miscalculated. I don't know why it says, it's because of two seasons. So 20 with the Angels. I mean, what are you? You're obviously not really looking at the bat. You know, he has some key moments, but those are what, once out of 70 games, somewhere in there. His WAR is a 6, but I don't read WAR, so, or a 4.2, Big Jack. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why he'd be a big target by looking at that. I mean, his defense is pretty solid. Other than that, what are we looking at? I'm trying to figure it out too. I was hoping maybe
well,
I read
that,
something
you know,
and you're like, oh, that worked. That makes sense.
You know, and, you know, he did have a really good season last year, you know, started in California, you know, started with the Angels in California and then got moved into the Bay for Oakland for the playoff run. So, you know, he played really well, but, you know, you kind of wonder, okay, well, if this is what the Cubs are looking for, why not DJ LeMahieu, who is clearly the better of the two players, and, you know, can also play some third base. So, you kind of wonder, you know, obviously, LaStella's been here with Theo, and you know Theo loves his guys. That's why I honestly think Theo's really going to screw this up, and there's not going to be a Chris Bryant deal, and the Cubs are going to lose him into free agency for nothing, because that's something Epstein does. He loves his guys, and he doesn't want to move them. So he's going to hold them and hold them. And, you know, even, you know, if you don't move Bryant now, once the season starts, the value drastically drops. If you wait till the All-Star break, you're not going to get squat in return. You know, and if you, even if you hit him with the qualifying offer next year, that's not going to stop a team from paying him. So it seems like it's kind of incredibly stupid on Theo's part. And it's clear that he'll be walking away very soon from this job, maybe when his contract expires, because he can't rebuild it like he did last time. I don't know if the fans would support him in another rebuild like that, because there's really no reason to go through it. You know, it's his mistakes that cost this team championships in the first place. So I don't know what's going to happen. And I get it. He'll always be looked at as this god because he won a World Series. You know, all those guys will be. But, you know, in all honesty, it should have been more than what you want. They should have been like the Dodgers, who have went to multiple World Series. And now I know they only did win one, but if the Astros had cheated, you wonder if they would have more than that. So it's just an odd situation here. But, yeah, the minute I heard that Tommy LaStella was their top free agent target with all the free agent names out there, yeah, I knew there was a problem already, and we're not even to spring training. So.
Well, and, you know, I mean, obviously what I said you throw out there, those are things you question. You know, that's how you look into, you know, what are they saying? You know, what are they trying to say by this? And, you know, you can't take that away. You know, that plays into it. But like you said, I think at the end of the day, what does that statement really say? And it says that currently you're not concerned with, winning a World Series and being at the echelon you're supposed to be at. You're focusing on,
right.
I don't want to say second tier, but you know, you're not focusing on what, you're not trying to do what it's supposed to be doing to win the World Series.
Yeah, you know, if you think about it, unless Nico Horner develops, they will need somebody at second base. But the greater need right now is pitching, you know, and not only is there Trevor Bauer, there's Charlie Morton, Masahiro Tanaka, Marcus Stroman. I would even take your guy Jake Odorizzi to plug in towards the back of the rotation. You know, maybe you think James Paxton's going to stay healthy. He could possibly be somebody, you know, worthwhile. There are, I mentioned Hendricks and I mentioned Brad Hand. But, you know, there's also Alex Colomay and Shane Green and Mark Melancon who have closed, you know, effectively. Colomay was really good for the White Sox last year, better than anything the Cubs had. So you wonder how or what goes into the makeup of Tommy LaStella becoming the number one target for out of all the free agents. So, you know, even though, you know, and then my question becomes, well, okay, if you sign with Stella, does that mean you don't believe in Nico Horner?
Ooh, a double-edged sword.
So, you know, so yeah, there, I mean, there's just a ton of questions with it. And, you know, while we are on the free agent here, they did extend 6 players, got qualifying offers. It's $18.9 million if these players decide to take it. Some of them are no surprise. You know, the Reds extended the offer to Trevor Bauer. The Yankees did extend it to DJ LeMahieu. The Phillies extended it to JT Realmuto. The Astros gave it to George Springer. Then the Mets gave it to Marcus Stroman. I was a little surprised by that. And then I was really surprised to see the Giants give it to Kevin Gausman. I know he pitched really well for them, but $18.9 million is going to be a lot to pay for Gausman. Who knows? Maybe they can get him to accept the qualifying offer and then renegotiate. But those are the 6 guys there. There were 8 last year. Honestly, I think Gausman may be the only guy to accept it. I think depending on what kind of offers Marcus Stroman gets, because remember, he did sit out, so there may be some teams a little iffy on him. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, no real shock for you on these guys who got it?
No.
You know, and then do you see anybody accepting it? You think anybody accepts this thing?
I don't know. You caught me by surprise on that one. We'd have to go, like, individually over them again.
So, but, yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see who lands where. And oddly, one of the other things I read earlier today was over the weekend the Pirates decided to cut bait with Chris Archer. They didn't pick up his contract option. They let him go. I didn't see this come through the Cubs or anything, but apparently I saw somebody who said they think he would be a nice fit here with the Cubs. And I'm like, really? Maybe 3 years ago, or maybe if they would have kept him when they originally had him. But do they need to add an injury plagued starter, even though, or will they add him because he'll be cheap, I guess should be the question.
Well, you don't become the smartest guy in the room by doing that, not doing that stuff, right?
Yeah, well, you know, do you think that's going to be the plan? They're going to go out, they're going to look for all cheap fill-ins? You know, because obviously, you know, LaStella won't cost you what a DJ LeMahieu is going to cost you. And my guess is they still end up with John Lester, but, like, Archer isn't going to cost you, obviously, anywhere close to what a Trevor Bauer is going to cost. So do you think that's the route they go and we've got to live with cheap fill-ins?
Yeah, I totally think that's the route. You know, before it was the he was able to blame it on essentially Tom, the Ricketts fam, about not giving money and this and that. Well, you know, now you get to add a layer onto that story and COVID. You know, no fans in the stands for 60 of the, or, well, not even 60, but, you know, 30 of the 80 games that are supposed to be played there. So that'll be the excuse why, you know, bigger free name agents are targeted.
Yeah, I kind of chuckle because obviously you know that the big name teams are still going to go out there and get their guys.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
You know, I think for me that's always been one of the bigger issues with the Cubs and the way they've responded to anything is, you know, they're trying to, and, you know, this is not a knock on the White Sox, you know, but they're trying to play the small market role when, in fact, they are not in the small market. You know? They're at the level of the Dodgers and the Yankees, yet they act like they're the Royals.
Yeah. You know, that's the sad part about it is, you know, they have all the money in the world to spend, and yet they refuse, you know, they give you this, you know, this garbage about, well, you know, the owner said we can't spend this, or we can't do that, or, you know, whatever kind of works out there. But yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, right, whatever.
Well, do you think it comes down to the fact that they rely so much on, maybe not rely, but the fact that draft picks in Major League Baseball tend to be highly overvalued?
Yeah, well, you know, especially when you can't hit anywhere outside of the first round, like Theo has proven that he can't do. So, you know, then obviously your draft picks are incredibly overrated. You know,
Well,
just one of those things.
and I guess the thing is you obviously, you know, and the biggest difference obviously between the NBA, NHL, or I don't know a whole lot about their system, but NBA and NFL is you're drafting to have guys play within the next season, if not, you know, long-term 2 seasons. You know, Major League Baseball, they're trying too hard to draft a guy that's ready to play. And, you know, I feel like the thing that we're learning is that a kid who's brought up after a year, you know, they run through single A, double A, triple A. They show they have it. They get up to the majors, and then, you know, they completely struggle. Where I don't think the experience in the majors hurt Javi Baez, but keeping him up. Bringing him up as quickly as they did, I think definitely hurt him, where he didn't get all the at-bats he needed to have down in the minors. And I think the one thing that ends up happening is these guys get brought up, they get figured out within the next season, and some of them don't seem to bounce back from that. Bounce from it. You know, or it just takes even longer. I don't know if it's a good cycle or, you know, maybe it's good, better on the part of the team, where if you get a guy who takes longer to develop, then you can, you know, you're not having to pay him as much during arbitrations. And if he's not exactly at the superstar status, then, you know, you can continue to grow with him, but you're signing him for cheap. Or you didn't see what you wanted out of him and you're letting him go, and then he takes off and pulls a DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, well, you know, the Cubs have definitely made some poor decisions. You know, I mean, hopefully, you know, Ian Happ played really well in these 60 games. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come. Otherwise, you're looking at another guy who was probably rushed to the majors too quickly. You know, you mentioned Kyle Schwarber, who just isn't going to be anywhere near the player that they promised us he was going to be. You know, Baez took his time to get his adjustments. You know, it's got to be time to start questioning Chris Bryant, because he really just hasn't been the same since he won MVP. You know, I know, you know, you've got to just, you know, is he just injury prone, or how are these things going to work out? So, I mean, you start looking at what Theo's done and what he's brought, and yeah, it got you one World Series, but it got you just one, and you really haven't contended since. Yeah, you made the playoffs, and that's great, but you want to win. The object is to win the World Series, and they haven't been close. And like, I honestly thought this team had a chance. You know, I thought it would have been really tough for them to beat the Dodgers, but I thought going into the playoffs, they should have been the second best team. But it's almost like they don't know how to win, or they're not willing to do the things they need to win. You know, and again, you know, obviously there's a lot of poor decision making. I mean, you know, you and I talked about how bad the bullpen was going into spring training, and they didn't try to fix it. You know, and then once Craig Kimbrell exploded, it was done. I know Jeremy Jeffress was kind of a lifesaver, but you also got to remember that in a full season in Milwaukee in 2019, he was terrible. So, you know, before you start throwing big money at him to come back, you've got to ask yourself, which guy are you getting? So, it's a lot of combinations of poor decision making from a guy that everybody thinks is just the greatest general manager or president or whatever you want to look at in the world, because he won a World Series title a couple of years ago with a team that hadn't won it in 200 years. So,
well, if you combine them in the Boston, I'm sure you're close to 200.
Yeah. Well, you know that, and I mean, you know, basically that you just don't, nobody seems to want to hold him accountable to the fact that, you know, you paid a lot of money for Jason Hayward, but he's not that kind of elite player. I mean, he's a good player, but he gets elite money and he's not elite. You paid Yu Darvish a boatload of money, and hopefully last year was the sign of things to come, but that hasn't really worked out for the kind of money he's getting. So, you know, the Tyler Chatwood signing was a complete bust. You know, he was supposed to, you know, fill out their rotation. Then, you know, I know your favorite thing to mention, who did they give up for Jose Quintana, Dan?
Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, so you add that in. Right, you add that in because Quintana hasn't, you know, or didn't really amount to anything here, and now he's a free agent. And, you know, Jimenez looks like he's going to go on to have, you know, obviously if he stays healthy, he's going to go on to have a pretty good career. So, yeah, there's a lot of questionable things that people just seem to gloss over because they say, oh, yeah, well, we won the World Series. Okay, well, the Dodgers just won the World Series. You think they're going to sit on their hands? I'm willing to bet they bring Justin Turner back for at least another year. You know, then whatever else they need, probably bullpen help. I won't be surprised if they go out and sign multiple guys. You know, they may not ink like Liam Hendricks or Brad Hand, but I'm willing to bet they go out and sign some top-notch setup guys. Hell, your guy Tony Watson may end up there as, you know, a lefty setup guy because he's on the free agent market. So, you know, again, we're comparing teams that win and win consistently against a team that won and doesn't seem to know how to get back there. You know, I mean, the Yankees had an off year and they turned around and they made the changes they made. They went out and got Gerrit Cole. You know, they brought in, you know, Zach Britton and Adam Ottavino to help round out the bullpen. So, you know, and these are teams that have the money to spend, and the Cubs are right in that line. So, you know, don't try to sell me on the fact that the Cubs don't have any money, because we all know that's BS. So,
well, and I think that's the – if we were talking about the Royals, would you be
right.
Talking the same way? No.
No, because
no,
the Royals did exactly what we expected the Royals to do. They
yeah.
won a World Series, and then the only guy they could really keep – at that point in time off that World Series winner was Alex Gordon. You know, they had to let Lorenzo Cain walk away. They couldn't bring Johnny Cueto back. You know, and I mean, you go through that team. I know Sal Perez did end up sticking around. But, you know, Ben Zobrist, I believe, was part of that team. You know, you go down that list, and small market team developed their own players, got to the point where they could win. They won. And then they couldn't pay any of them. You know, Kane got obscene money from the Brewers. There was no way the Royals could match that. Cueto got big bucks in San Francisco. They weren't going to match that. You know, Zobrist, I think, came to Chicago after that. They weren't going to pay what the Cubs paid to bring him in because that was a gigantic overpayment. I think they paid him, $64 for 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you start you know, you start looking at those kind of teams. You know, the Pirates were the same way. Remember, the Pirates were a wild card team a couple years in a row, and then all their guys hit free agency and they couldn't bring any of them back. So, you know, you look at where they are now, and you do wonder, you know, how will it go with the Astros? You know, Springer just hit free agency. There hasn't been much talk about him going back. You know, Michael Brantley is in free agency. He was a big part of that team. I believe they got Carlos Correa to sign an extension, so they'll have, like, Correa and Altuve. But, you know, their best player is Alex Bregman, and he's got to be coming into free agency pretty soon. Are they going to be able to bring him back? You know, they couldn't match the Yankees' offer to Gerrit Cole, so they had to watch him walk away. You know, where will they be in just a couple more years? So, you know, but the Cubs don't need to do that because they have the money.
We're all just looking for it.
Right. It becomes frustrating. Because you look at this team and you just wonder, you know, why they couldn't add bullpen help. Well, you know, the Rick said we couldn't spend any money. I don't think anybody believes that.
No.
So.
Well, and how long can you continue to use that? Anybody
right.
that is a fan of this team up until, obviously, this season, you know, paid a significant increase because they won the World Series just to go. Sorry, that was been going. So we've seen increases in ticket prices, 26, not just once, but every single season. You know, so you're not making money. I don't. Where are you losing it?
Yeah, you know, and I mean the Cubs. You know, the Cubs draw. The Cubs make money. You know, they may be one of the few major baseball teams that actually make money. So, you know, you do kind of question it because you don't really see them spend it all that often. Like you see the Yankees do, you see the Dodgers do, you see the Red Sox do, even though as of late the Red Sox has been spending it very poorly. But, you know, those are the four teams that really have the money to spend. You know, you do wonder now, there are a lot of rumors that the Mets may now be a big player with this new owner. So it could be really interesting how that goes on. You know, the Angels are another team that has always had money. They just haven't spent it really well. How did that work out? Remember, they spent a bunch of money on T.J. Watson when they needed pitching, so... It'll be interesting to see if some of these other teams kind of try to get into the mix. You know, Philadelphia, remember they had what they called stupid money and were going to sign Harper and Machado and just ended up with Harper. You know, they're going to probably have to find a way to keep Realmuto. But you wonder if, you know, do they have enough money to go out and get, say, a George Springer or a Trevor Bauer or, you know, something like that, would they be interested in making that kind of ad? So, there are the teams out there, and, you know, the more Theo sleeps, the more these teams go past the Cubs. You know, and I mean, he's just really lucky that there really isn't another big money team in his division. You know, because obviously, you know, the Cardinals never spend money, even though they are one of the better drawing teams. For some reason, they're still considered small market. We know the Brewers don't spend. The Pirates can't spend. The Reds have spent a little bit as of late, so we'll have to see how that works out. But, you know, obviously the big thing is I don't think they can afford to keep Trevor Bauer, and that's going to cost them. So... So, yeah, you know, I mean, the Cubs, you know, they're lucky enough to fall in what should be an easier division for them to win, but due to Theo's inability to make good decisions, they struggle every year. And remember, 2 years ago, they finished third and didn't even get in the playoffs. So, you know, and this year they were really lucky to hang on after they ran away with it in the beginning. You know, I mean, they looked like they were going to have one of the best records for this 60-game season, and, you know, they bumbled and stumbled, and Craig Kimbrell couldn't get you out. And, you know, and then they managed to, you know, kind of get it back together, and they ended up winning it by, what was it, 3 games, I think. But they were dominant early and should have won the division by double digits. I mean, hell, they should have won, you know, a la the Dodgers, where there was never a doubt who was going to win the division, and San Diego was just kind of hanging around. But again, not a good enough decision maker to put it together. Just how it works out. But oh, and I will tell you, Dan, just so you know and everybody knows, else knows, if they do sign Tommy La Stella, you know, he's their number one priority if they bring him in, I will not watch any Cub games as long as he's here. So, you know, just plain and simple, I'm over it.
What if he's like, what if they sign big names first, or they trade Chris Bryant first?
Yeah, you know, I think they could win me back if they made some good decisions. But I have a feeling that I'm going to see them sign Tommy La Stella, a couple journeyman starters, and then a bunch of no-name relievers, and try to piece it together one more time before Rizzo, Schwarber, Baez, and whoever else hit free agency after 2021. So... you know, we'll see how it goes. But they are, as Dan and I are currently podcasting, on the MLB Network, they are announcing the finalists for the awards for this year. And so far, it's no surprise it's an hour show. They've only announced one. The three finalists for the American League Cy Young, Dan, and I can't believe this. I understand that Shane Bieber is going to win in a landslide, so he's a finalist. The other two finalists, Dan, Kenta Maeda of the Twins and Hyunjin Ryu of the Blue Jays. And I ask you this very, very purposefully, Dan, where in the hell is Lucas Giolito?
He plays for a team that apparently still does not exist in the Major League Baseball.
Clearly. So clearly these voters, and again, you know, a lot of these voters are guys who have absolutely no idea what's going on and probably shouldn't be voting because they're either too old and incontinent to actually cast a vote correctly, or they just don't pay attention to the game. Because, yeah, just kind of how it works out where you couldn't figure out to put Victor's name on the ballot somehow.
I was still waiting for ours in the mail. So.
Yeah, you and me both. When do ours freaking show up? So, you know, and, you know, I'm sure Maeda and Ryu had really good years, you know, but they didn't, you know, and I get, okay, you're going to say, well, you know, Giolito was only 4-3, but, you know, Ryu was only 5-2. I get that Maeda was 6-1 and they both had better ERAs, but Giolito pitched a lot more innings, had a lot more strikeouts, and pitched for a winner. You know, not to mention he threw a no-hitter. You know, do we have to throw that one in? You know, and I'm sure it's one of those things where he finished fourth or, you know, something ridiculous like that. But,
I
don't know. And
I always find it funny when the logic that is presented to you is used to show how someone else can, you know, be at that other level, but then all of a sudden, no, they go back to the old determination.
You know, and I don't know how many of these they'll actually get announced while Dan and I are still on the air. I guess we'll probably find out who the National League Cy Young Award finalists are, but I doubt we'll get to any of the other ones. And then as it goes, they start announcing next week. I think it might be, so it will, you'll start figuring out, you know, who's winning what and all that other fun stuff. But yeah, that's the, look at that, Dan, they've announced one award and I'm already ticked off about it. That's not going to be a good off season.
Well, at least you know who they are.
Yeah. So, but I do have a non-baseball related, very, what you'll find humorous, and I think anybody who listens regularly will get a kick out of. You know, as I mentioned before, many times Mr. Fantasy and I co-manage or co-coach, I guess if it's football, a fantasy football team together. And, you know, we had our ups and downs. You know, he really dropped the ball, and he cut Philip Rivers, and it cost us a couple games. If we would have had Philip Rivers 2 weeks ago, we would have split our games. You play two games a week. Instead, we lost both. Last week, we had a really rough week, and we ended up losing both. Now, this week, we've been going through, and we've been kind of struggling with the tight end position. We drafted Eric Ebron of the Steelers, but since he doesn't score 30 points a week, Mr. Fantasy doesn't like him. So we've been bouncing around and trying to find these other guys. And I should have thought about this when this happened 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, a tight end by the name of Harrison Bryant. Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of you don't even know who he is. He happens to be the third string tight end for the Cleveland Browns. Now, 2 weeks ago, Harrison Bryant caught two touchdown passes. All right. Now, Austin Hooper, the starting tight end, was out. He got injured. And David Njoku, the backup tight end, just came off of injury. So he wasn't playing all the snaps. So Harrison Bryant caught these two touchdown passes. Now, as you know, Mr. Fantasy loves the fly-by-night guy. He picked up Harrison Bryant. We start him because we must start, you know, a tight end. We've got to plug somebody in, and look how hot this guy is. You know, Dan, look how hot this guy is. He scored two touchdowns in 1 week. That's all we need. He's going to keep rolling, and he'll be the tight end leader from here on out. Yeah, again, did I mention he's the third ring guy to anybody? So yesterday, Eric Ebron goes out, catches a touchdown pass, has a solid day, and that's what, you know, we really kind of expected because we didn't go out early and grab one of the top tight ends. Well, unfortunately for us, Eric Ebron is on our bench because we're starting Harrison Bryant, who had three receptions for 25 yards, scored us a whopping 4.5 points. Now, Eric Ebron only had four receptions, but one of his was a touchdown. So he scored 14.8 points. So we left 10-plus points on the bench for the idea that we needed the fly-by-night guy. Then for some reason, I don't understand this, we have Drew Brees, and he's already at his bye week. Now, we got Phillip Rivers, so obviously we no longer need a quarterback. for some reason last week he picked up Ben DiNucci. Yeah, I mean, there was no way we were going to play Ben DiNucci. So now, Dan, we are going to go on and lose both our games this week. And we have now lost six consecutive games after this week. And we are going to go from being tied for first place to, let's see, probably fourth in our division. So I mentioned Theo Epstein's poor management. Trust me, I know a lot about this because when you get excited about these guys who just have 1 week and you don't look at all the facts, this is what happens to you. You know, it's very rare that a third-string tight end is going to put up big numbers 2 weeks in a row. And while I understand that our tight end hasn't been great, you have to kind of keep him in your lineup when he's the best option. But instead, and you know this from playing football, even just the free stuff we do with fantasy, he gets in panic mode very quickly. You know, he's the guy that after week one would be willing to drop your first-round draft pick if the guy had a bad start to the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, most years I rein him in, but I got caught up handling baseball through the playoffs because he just wasn't that into it. So he's been kind of dealing with the football team. And now I realize that I kind of have to pull the reins back, and he just can't. Bottom line, he just can't do it. So
now, so Big J, that's actually been one of the things, you know, because you brought it up, one of the things I've been taking into consideration, and this has nothing to do with Mr. Fantasy's decision. This is just me kind of taking a look. You know, with the where I've gotten screwed is on the bye weeks. You know, of course, the guy who's, you know, just doubtful or, you know, going to be out for the 1 week also happens to be out the same week as my guy with the bye week. So I've been going through and, you know, I generally sort on who has the most points for the season and then, you know, who has the most projected points. Try to go between those two for that week. And, you know, one of the things I'm looking at was, oh, well, last week or the week before, this guy put up 14, you know, to 20 points. And then I read his little thing because, you know, not everyone gets a description or some news. You know, he went 4 for 4 or 5 for 5 that one day and caught a touchdown and, you know, maybe an extra, I don't know, something else. But then as I look through it, he hasn't done anything else prior, you know, in between, you know, last week and this week. And then I read, you know, the news that they have on him again. I go back and then I see the last news was from that week when he did really well. And that if you're in a 12-plus league, he's not even worth being a pickup because he is the third string, whatever. And he most likely won't play this week unless, you know, the first two guys both break their legs. Then he'll get all the touches.
Yeah.
So it's been, yeah. You know, I've been doing a little bit more research. Not a whole lot, obviously, but I'm still up there. But, I mean, you know, I've learned pretty quickly that just because this guy has been hot for a week, maybe 2 weeks, you got to learn, well, why was he hot? You know, oh,
right.
Because he was the only guy on the field for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's the thing. And, I mean, what's disappointing is you would think after all these games, Mr. Fantasy would have gotten over this. But, no,
yeah.
I guarantee you, if there's a guy on the waiver wire who has a great week, we pick him up. You know, it's just bottom line. You know, we have to go get this guy because he had a good week. Yeah, but you know, is he going to continue to have good week? You know, or is he going, you know, or in some cases, is he even going to play because
yeah.
He is the third? You know, so it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, let's, you know, and I get it. If you're in a 20-team league, you may have no choice but to pick a guy up like that. But we're not, and there's other options, and we have a better option. So, I just, again, I don't get it. And, you know, he didn't run any of these lines. You know, where I, every move I make, I have to kind of run by him. He just picked these guys up and didn't say anything to me. So.
yeah, but we won't discuss our Yahoos because everything rides on tonight. Big Jack for me and keeping an 8-0 record, so I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll either be celebrating in the morning or crying a little bit.
Yeah, I am. I'll just say I'm leading going into my my three leagues because I have that extra league, and not mm-hmm. surprisingly, the league which you and I are not in together, my third league, is the league I have Dalvin Cook in. That I can guarantee you is going to be a win. The other two, I don't so much know about yet, but I am guaranteeing you that I will win that league. So.
Oh, well, I mean, we'll definitely talk about that tomorrow. But let's just talk about the fact that Dalvin Cook put up 55 points for me, and I am not going to win in that league.
Oh.
you know, we'll dive into that tomorrow. But, I mean, Big Jack, I just – you know, I was like, oh, with the way the weeks have been going, I had on the Packers-Vikings game, and I was watching, and then, you know, I was like, I just don't see anything happening. You know, the Vikings have sucked lately. I just turned it off. And then I tuned back in at the end, and they're winning. And then I checked my fantasy team, because when I'm not having a good feeling about it, Big Jack, I don't look at it until the games are over. Do you get like that occasionally where
No,
I'm waiting until, you know, 3:30, then I'll look at it and we'll see if I'll watch some more.
Well, here real quick, just about that.
I sat full.
Just about
didn't start Garoppolo.
They announced the National League Rookie of the Year contenders. Well, it's now the Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year, so we'll throw it out as that. It's Alec Bohm of the Phillies, Jake Cronenworth of the Padres, and Devin Williams, the Brewers, are your three finalists for that award. And obviously that's all Dan and I are going to get in here before the day is done because we've only got a few minutes to go. But, yeah, it's
okay, I get it. You know, Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year Award. Can we just change the name completely and drop the Rookie of the Year? I figured it's BS talk for the last couple of minutes. And it sounds so stupid, but, I mean, we have the Cy Young. You and I and anyone who watches baseball, if I say the Cy Young, you all look at me and, yeah, you know, Clayton Kershaw should have, you know, everyone has conversation. You say Rookie of the Year, and it's just like, yeah, Rookie of the Year. But I don't know. When you start making it – you know, the one theater by me is called the First Midwest Bank Amphitheater.
Yes.
You know, when they opened it, it was called the World Music Theater. You know, and I'm not against, you know, adding Jackie Robinson's name to it. That's not what I'm saying. I just, why not just shorten it? The Jackie Robinson Award. And then, you know,
hey,
after about 5 years, everyone will know.
At least they don't have them sponsored yet. Wait for that. So, we're all late for the end of the take off. We'll be back tomorrow at 4:30 to do this all again. While we're going, we have to do it. Hope you have a good afternoon. Even with that going on, love you too. Hope you have a good afternoon. Of course, while you're there, the link to the Facebook page, we will hope you do that on the while you're there. Look at the last one, the killer to you. And more stuff. So, this is where also we're going to like to run it down. And hey, if you don't find this video, thank you for being on that. And remember, if you miss out, all this is available for you to listen to anytime you want. TuneIn.com.
Short-term review. That.